Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, thanks, Aaron. No pressure then. Hello, everybody, near and far. Thank you very much for inviting me to this conference. The title I've been given is Engaging Students in Assessment and Feedback. I've been given 10 minutes to do that, so I ought to start now by turning over my question paper and writing my name on it. I should say that I relinquished my co-chairship of CEDA last week. My term of office came to a close, and I have the relief of burdens of state. It's a heady experience, let me tell you. This concept of student engagement, I think, has been going on for some time. I look at it as happening over a decade, but I can think of a lot more discussion that's gone on prior to that. But I think it's been given this renewed emphasis as a consequence of kind of, shall we say, vigorous responses to the government's white paper. And more importantly, the discourse surrounds the notion of students as active educational partners, not passive recipients, not consumers, not customers, but active partners. We heard a little bit about the Quality Code expectation of higher education providers to take deliberate steps to engage both students both individually and collectively as partners to enhance their learning experience. This notion of partnership clearly being highlighted. We've heard a little about the Academy's approach to student engagement, again, considering students as active partners in shaping their learning experiences. And the work of the NUS and the Academy in this joint project to support institutions and student unions to better engage students in shaping their learning. Of course, I couldn't make this presentation without referring to the National Student Survey. These are the figures from 2010, where assessment and feedback, the degree of satisfaction, was approaching 66%. And as Aaron has pointed out, consistently, relative to the other categories we're talking about, the lowest satisfaction rate. And for 2011, there's been some joy that it's increased by 2% to 68% overall, but still, relative to the other categories, not doing so well. This has in large part been due to a lot of work by the NUS, and let me in passing congratulate the NUS on really active involvement in the past few years and doing some incredible things in the sector. This is a quote from Usman Ali, current VP, Vice President of the NUS. The NUS feedback and assessment campaign toolkit has had a great reception from both student unions and institutions across the UK, and it's heartening to see that it is making a positive impact. We do still, however, have a long way to go to increase the satisfaction of assessment and feedback to the same level as the other categories in the NSS. Well, let me take you to the importance of assessment for students. These are some quotes from seminal works of the past. Assessment is at the heart of the student experience, from Sally Brown and Peter Knight. From Paul Ramsden, from our students' point of view, assessment always defines the actual curriculum. And from George Brown and his associates, assessment defines what students regard as important, how they spend their time, how they come to see themselves as students and then as graduates. If you want to change student learning, then change the methods of assessment. Assessment, of course, is extremely important to students. I must admit, in preparing this presentation, I thought to myself, why am I not calling this staff engagement with assessment and feedback? This is a quote from David Bowd from 1995. I think it's an important quote, and you'll forgive me if I read it out. It's an issue about partnership, or it's about an issue about control. Students can, with difficulty, escape from the effects of poor teaching. They cannot, by definition, if they want to graduate, escape the effects of poor assessment. Assessment acts as a mechanism to control students that is far more pervasive and insidious than most staff would be prepared to acknowledge. It appears to conceal the deficiencies of teaching as much as it does to promote learning. If, as teachers, we want to exert maximum leverage over change in higher education, we must confront the ways in which assessment tends to undermine learning. because I think it's a very good charter, I'll mention the NUS Charter on Feedback and Assessment. I should, in passing, also refer to the work of the Assessment Standards and Knowledge Exchange from the Oxford Brookes University, the work of Chris Russ, Margaret Price, Barry O'Donovan, and their assessment manifesto. There's a number of good people working on this area. These are just some of the key aspects that are referred to in the Charter. They're not all of them, but they're ones that I think are quite useful for my presentation this morning, this afternoon, I should say. Students should be provided with a variety of assessment methods. One of the means of engaging students is that you can offer different assessment methods that might engage more students than not. Formative assessment should be used throughout the programme, so assessment for learning is important. Students should be supported to critique their own work, so self-assessment, self-evaluation, peer evaluation, peer assessment is important. Programme induction should include information on assessment practices and understanding marking criteria. I might disagree that it is only related to programme induction, but perhaps it should be right throughout the programme. Students should have access to face-to-face feedback for at least the first piece of assessment each academic year. I might depart there as well by suggesting that it might be a little more than the first piece of assessment in each academic year. And feedback should be timely. Critical aspects of both assessment and feedback and engaging students in that process. Let me take the variety of assessment methods. You'll forgive a little cartoon, I'm sure. This is obviously for job selection, but for a fair selection, everybody has to take the same exam. Please climb that tree. You can see that the bird is completely nonplussed about the whole idea. The monkey is terribly pleased. The penguin is looking rather dangerously at the goldfish. The elephant is extremely angry, and the dog similarly. The issue really is about assessment for learning, I think. And there is extensive research which shows that by applying those principles for learning, we can produce impressive gains. That assessment for learning, I think, houses two fundamental important concepts. First of all, that we share those understandings of assessment and assessment practice, and we share that idea of formative assessment. That we open up this secret garden of assessment, that staff share learning outcomes, assessment criteria, achievement targets with their students. They explain to students how assignments will be marked, what the assessment criteria mean. There are opportunities for students to ask questions about the criteria, to clarify what they need to do to pass and so on. It's important that students engage in formative and self and peer assessment and feedback. So you can get students to actively use the criteria through a combination of sort of marking exercises, self-assessment, peer assessment and peer feedback, and indeed creating and negotiating their own assessment criteria. Why not? Here's a simple marking exercise for a staged assessment. Two or three stages and perhaps reviewing and marking essays or projects. Within week four, there's a kind of literature review, and the students provide some annotated bibliography of the texts, and work could be shared with other students at that stage, and they're engaged in some kind of peer evaluation. Week eight, this draft essay or draft project could be peer-marked. The tutor might provide comments on that feedback form. And finally, the final essay is much easier to mark because the tutor's seen those earlier stages. Simple means of getting students engaged with the process and with their peers. This is an example of peer assessment of long essays in the medical field. I think it's from Ian Hughes from the School of Biomedical Sciences at Sheffield University. These were medical students undertaking 3,000, 4,000 word essays. Staff spent some time with the students making sure that students understood what the marking criteria were, that the work was properly referenced, that there was a critical approach, that it was evidence-based, and so on. And remarkably, the staff marks and the student marks correlated quite strongly. Just in terms of mapping of the scattergram, you can see how close the correlations were between the peer marks of the students and the academic staff mark. It does work, and you can do it. So in summary, there should be this, I feel, staff-student partnership, not just trying to engage students in assessment and feedback. So there's assessment guidance for staff across the programme, work by educational developers, staff developers. ensuring there's an appropriate design and explicit criteria provided for assessment. And there's tutor discussion across the programme, not just within modules, but across the programme, of what those criteria might mean. Ensuring that the students, therefore, understand what those explicit criteria are, that there's active engagement with those criteria, and a student active engagement with the feedback. So it's a student-staff partnership. Let me move on to the issue of feedback. Of course, feedback has great potential. As Hattie, in that standard work, in a comprehensive review of meta-analyses of feedback studies, it's the most powerful single influence that makes a difference to student achievement. A Black and Williams study in 1998, another seminal work, feedback has extraordinarily large and consistently positive effects on learning compared with other aspects of teaching or other interventions designed to improve learning. But it's not all good news. Guy Hansel found that feedback is often not read at all or not understood. Watchers reported that some students threw away the feedback if they disliked the grade, while others seemed concerned only with the final result and didn't collect the marked work. We can't forget students. This is an actual student quote on the feedback. Feedback which I did get was pretty poor. There were 9 words written on the evaluation form. One just said evidence next to a particular comment. Was there enough evidence? Was there evidence of evidence, or did I need to improve my evidence? Clear that the written feedback didn't exactly help. Which is why there's been recently more calls for the importance of feedback as a process of dialogue. To improve feedback, as Nicol said, is we mustn't have it as a monologue, we must make it a dialogue. The work of Beaumont and his colleagues suggests that feedback is viewed as this continuous dialogue with a cyclical process involved. That's costly in terms of time. One would appreciate that. So it can be resource intensive, but we review our resource allocations for assessment and feedback as a consequence. So to improve that feedback by engaging students, the model, you can model the application of feedback, show students in previously marked assignments and so on. Encourage the application of feedback. The students are required to show how they've used that prior feedback, and you could award some marks to students for doing that. Fundamentally, I think there should be 3 conceptual shifts about how we're approaching all of this. Ruth this morning mentioned the importance of having an engagement strategy or a partnership strategy across the university. And I think that partnership should extend to an assessment strategy across the institution. So you create a community of assessment practice, and it's an exercise in partnership with the students, not an exercise in control. We must fully understand that the importance and emotional significance of the assessment process and experience from the student's point of view is crucial to its effective use. And thirdly, self and peer assessment shouldn't just be seen as processes, in my view. They are learning outcomes in themselves. We all are professionals judging ourselves and judging others. It's a simple professional capability to be able to undertake self and peer assessment. It should be a conventional part of the programme, not something we try out on our students as part of the assessment process. And finally, we must acknowledge that even the most valid and reliable assessment process can't be regarded as high quality if it causes students to disengage. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.